Praise the Lord. We've got a few out today. Brother Gene called me. He's homesick. And I've got to call him, check on him later to see if he went and got tested yet. And he got sick over the holidays. And Brother Wayne, Sister Cindy, and Lisa come in contact with somebody who had COVID, so they're out today. And but we're thankful for everyone that is healthy today and was able to make it out and as well. And we pray the Lord keeps you so. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, thanking you for this opportunity. Ask God for you to be with us in this service and that you'll guide us, Lord, through your word. May you speak to the hearts, dear God. And we ask, Lord, knowing, Father, that many times, Lord, that you'll come and you'll speak. And though it may be a help to some, it's more to others. Lord, but you know the needs of all. And you know our lives. You know the inventory of our lives, dear God, and where we are standing currently in Christ. And Father, we just ask God that you'll speak to us now through the word that we may grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is going to be a part one. Title it, Having Loved This Present World. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to read verse 10. For the second part, for the next service, we'll go more in depth on this particular scripture and some of the other verses that go along with it. But I just want to dwell on this one thought today. And it says, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans, to Galatia, and Titus, to Dalmatia. You may be seated. For the service today, I'd like to just focus on having loved this present world. And if we would each of us take for a moment time and think of different individuals that we have known in our life. Many of you have walked with the Lord for many years. Many of you have been with them in the message for many years. And you've known many people. And you've come in contact with a lot of different people, and you've got family, and you've seen people that were going to church and that followed this message and followed the end time truth, or so it seemed, and then they would leave, and they would leave all this behind, and they would go out into the world, many of them still saying, oh, I believe Brother Branham's a prophet, but they went back out into the world. And what it shows is that they love this present world more than they do the world to come. The Bible says to set your affections on things above, but they've got their affections set on things that are present, things they can see, taste, feel, smell, things they can come in contact with here. The unseen is beyond them. There have been those that come to this, seemingly to this message and come to the end time truth, but then maybe a spouse didn't want to come. And so they chose to leave it for the spouse. They love their spouse more than they love the things to come. They love the things of this world more than they did the things of God. And you say, well, maybe they didn't know about really the things of God. Their eyes wasn't really open. But they were given an opportunity. Just like when Jesus, the rich young ruler, came to Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he was given the opportunity. He said, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. He was given the opportunity to make his investments on things that are to come. But he chose this present world. He couldn't give up this present world. He couldn't give up his belongings. He couldn't give up his popularity. He couldn't give up the things of this life to go and follow Jesus. Because going and follow Jesus was going into something that to him would be the unknown. And the only way you can walk in the unknown is by faith. Without faith, you cannot walk with God. And a walk of faith is not easy. I don't know if preachers have painted it up to you that once you get the Holy Ghost and you know you got faith, well, then it's easy. Everything just comes easy. Boy, you just overcome everything and everything's just hunky-dory. That's not true. That's a fairy tale. It's not easy to walk the walk of faith. Because you have opposition. You have those that are against you. But people make their choices. Just like when God came to Abraham, told Abraham, you're going to have to separate yourself from Lot. Abraham gave Lot the choice. You pick this way, then I'll just go the other way. If you pick that way, then I'll just go this other way. He gave Lot the choice. And Lot looked down towards Sodom in the valleys and the lush green grass and the luxurious homes and the luxurious city and the gaiety of things. Seeming like that everything was just so great and wonderful. And Lot made his choice for that. Lot looked at the present tense world. And he chose this present world over the things that were to come. If we were to... if we could for a moment take a carnal view of this, Lot made a choice. His choice, it looked a lot better than Abraham, what he was left with. Abraham was left with the high country. And in the high country, grass is not so plenteous. Feeding for the livestock is not so great and plenteous. Water is not so plenteous. But Lot chose the lush valley, something that looked a whole lot better than what Abraham presently had. But now let's take a comparison to what Lot ended up with. Lot in Sodom, when Sodom was in all of its financial and economical glory versus the children of Abraham inheriting the promised land that flowed with milk and honey. Now you can see that Lot made a choice of this present world. And the present world passed away. Because God rained fire down out of heaven and burned Sodom right off the map. Burn up all of its lush grass, all its luxurious homes, all of its economy, everything that there was about Sodom was burnt, gone, and done. What was Lot left with? Nothing. Nothing. No matter how much investment you make in this life, you can't take any of it with you when you leave here. It doesn't matter whether you're going to heaven or going to hell, you can't take it with you when you leave. I know we've got to have provisions to take care of ourselves, provide for our families and so on, but the Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is talking about the things that treasures and riches that where they become personified or become to where they're first and foremost in your life before serving God. Well, I got to make a dollar. I got to make this money. I have that and this. When you put those things and they become personified as your God, is what it actually is, then you're serving mammon. You're serving this present world. You're serving the desires of the flesh. And friends, this flesh does not inherit eternal life. This flesh only lasts so long. And when its days are done, it's done. I look back, often I look back at when I was young man. And I was just a young man when I first came here. And I was what, 35 years old when I came here, I believe? Just a young man. And I look back even younger than that, and I look at the things that I was capable of doing that I'm not capable of doing now. And, you know, God bless Brother Phil. You know, I don't know if there's much he can't do that he hasn't always been able to do. Still runs these marathons and all. God bless him. I root for him. But I'm not going to run none with him. And my running days are over. But there's people who, they serve this life. And Lot, look, Brother Branham said he had a carnal nature. And because of that carnal nature, he loved this present world more than he did the things that were to come. He chose rather to live in the luxury in this life than to have the life hereafter. Many people have chose that. They choose the riches of the world today, the luxuries of the world today. I've known in my time men who've had their own businesses and friends, they would do anything to prosper their business. If it meant lying, they'd lie and still come to church. If it meant doing something crooked, underhanded, to try to outbid somebody else, you know, they'd go and pose as somebody other than themselves, pose as something different just to try to find out, well, I'm over here at this other place across the road, and I've got to have my parking lot cleared, and I got to have my landscape took care of. So I'm just wondering, how much were you paying to have your landscape took care of? Then once they find out, they can make a bid lower. They misrepresented, which means right out and out lie, and yet come to church. Why'd they do it? Because they loved this present world more than they loved the things that were to come. They did it for a few dollars more. see those things become, you know, their dreams. It's okay to dream. It's okay to fulfill some of your dreams. But don't let those dreams become personified as being your God, where you put that before God. I knew a individual, they had a dream of having a certain kind of house, you know, and having woods around them and these different things. And they were the same one that went around and lied and cheated and everything else to make their business prosper. And they ended up having what they wanted. They ended up getting that house and in the woods and nice, you know, and everything, you know. They ended up getting that. Where are they today? I was at my dad's funeral, and that same individual showed up. And I hadn't saw him in years, and saw him at the funeral. They hadn't changed. All those years, they haven't changed. We need to set our affections on the things above. The church has begun to cool off. The churches. Where's that zeal for God that we once had? I can talk about the denominations out there and the different churches and, you know, the Pentecostals and so on that Brother Branham spoke about when he was here and how they had cooled off toward God. But what about us? Where do we stand? I'm not making accusations. I'm just trying to bring to you food for thought. Something to open your eyes and look at. And look in the mirror at ourselves to see where we are. Do we love God more than we love this present world? People who go out and participate in the things of the world. By that I'm talking about, you know, they got to go to some clubs, or they got to go drinking, or, you know, because it makes them feel good, you know. They got this whole thing nowadays, if it makes you feel good, then it's okay. I mean, we're all so depressed anyway. So if it makes you feel other than depressed, then it must be good. So you mean you love those feelings more than you love what is to come, the world to come? You see, we have to, by faith, look at the world to come. We cannot see it with these eyes. So we can't do a direct comparison, contrast, by looking at one and then looking at the other. But what we have to do, we have to have faith about the one. We have to believe about the life that is to come. While with our senses, we contact this life, this present world. So a lot of people, because they can't see, touch, taste, smell, or feel that world to come, they'll choose this present world. I'm going to tell you something, friends. A boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse is not more important than your eternal destination. Well, I want to have a boyfriend in this life, and you know there's none in this church, and I've been waiting for years. So I guess then that justifies you going to the world to get one. You see, what that person has done is they've chosen this present world. They've chosen to what would make them feel better now in this present world. They've chosen the desires of the flesh. They've chosen to pamper and pet this flesh and this human spirit. And they turn their backs on God. They forsake the way of the Lord. They forsake the way of the despised few. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many will find it. Narrow is the path that leadeth to eternal life, and few there be found therein. They choose the other way. They give up. Give up. And then there's people who say, well, I've tried. I've tried this before. I've come to the Lord before and said, you know, I'd be a Christian and said I'd serve the Lord. And I tried it before. And you know what? It didn't work. I could lay hands on you all day and it won't make a difference. But if you ever get down and pray through at the altar yourself and pray through until God comes down, pray through until God takes the desires out of you, pray through until the world's gone, pray through until you forgot about everybody else in this building or anywhere else, or what anybody else's thought is. Pray through until you're beyond yourself, until God comes down and engulfs you. There'll be a change then. But you've got to pray. You've got to want it. You have to set your affections on the things of God. I can't do it for you. Mom can't do it for you. Daddy can't do it for you. Brother Phil can't do it for you. No one else can do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. It's that old song, nobody can walk this way for you. You got to walk it by yourself. You got to pray through. Today, the churches are being weighed in the balance. See where they are with God. And you know, this Laodicean age, it's an age of lukewarmness. The Bible says you're neither hot nor cold. And friends, if we don't have Christ living in our lives, then you know where we fit? In Laodicea. Laodicea. Didn't think they had need of. They don't think they have need of anything. Or at least they don't need what you've got. Because they don't want to walk the walk that you have to walk. And the Bible says that they're wretched and blind and miserable and naked. But they don't know it. They think everything's great. They think they're clothed, spiritually speaking. But religion is just a covering. A religious spirit. You know, the Bible says that when the spirit goes out of a man, and when it says man, it's not really referring to a gender, it's talking about an individual, a person. When the spirit goes out of a person, it says he walks in dry places. And it's looking for another place to rest. It's looking for another house. In other words, it's looking for another person that it can go get into. And when it sees that the house it got kicked out of or that it left is still empty, well, it comes back and says, buddy, they even cleaned up while I was gone. Well, things look pretty clean now. And the Bible says it enters back in and that man is seven times more spirits. Brother Bram says what it is, it's worse because then it becomes religious. And there's nothing worse than a religious spirit. A religious devil. Nothing worse. Because they don't know that they're wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. And you can't tell them any different either. They've went after these denominations that went after great money and great buildings and everything else, you know. And you know, a lot of them's got coffee shops in their lobbies, and you know, and they got they build things to attract more people, you know. The more things they can provide, seeming like, you know, and the less that they preach against this world, the more members they'll get. Just preach about how to live good in this world. It's okay to preach. It's even okay to preach a little on morals, because you're just showing them how to live good in this life, in this world, this present world. But don't tell them what the Bible really says. Don't tell them that the Bible says that for a woman to wear a garment pertaining to a man is an abomination before God. Don't tell them that. For heaven's sakes, you'll lose members. Let them come into your church, your women wearing pantsuits. Look, friends, if somebody come in here wearing pants, they're welcome. They don't know any better or whatever. You know, they're coming just to because there's a hunger or there's a desire. That's all right. God will take care of it. But I'm talking about when it becomes condoned. That it's okay for the women to come in, you know, the women of the church wearing pantsuits, you know, and get up and sing in front of the people dressed in their pants and all this, you know. Don't tell them that's an abomination before God. Don't say nothing about the cutting of hair, that their hair is given to them for a covering. Don't say nothing about that. You'll lose members. Don't say nothing about, you know, participating in the worldly things and it being all right, not being all right. Because they love this present world. And they love their churches with their big gymnasiums. Nothing against having a gymnasium. If we could have one, well, you know, not that I think we really need one, but if we had one, well, there's nothing wrong with it. What's the motivation behind it? They build on and build on and build on to their churches, trying to attract more members. And the pulpits have become cold. And the pulpits have become where they love this present world more than they do the world to come. Brother Branham said we could talk about juvenile delinquency. He said it's parent delinquency. And he says the reason it's parent delinquency is because it's pulpit delinquency. They won't preach about the stuff in the pulpits. Brother Branham says, today, God can send a preacher and hammer that word as hard as he can. And we go to sleep and get up and walk out. You say, Brother Jerry, surely not here. Well, I've wondered. Because of the things that we have preached, the things that we have covered, things that has been said, not just by myself, but other ministers that come through here, by Brother Phil and different ones. And yet, some things continue on. You know, I don't know how many fishermen we might have here in the church to know about fishing or hunting or whatever, but when you go fishing, you got to be patient. It depends on the type of fishing you're doing. You know, if you're fishing off the bottom, why then you're watching the end of your pole and watching the tightness of the line. If you're fishing up on the surface, maybe with a bobber, then you watch the bobber to see whether it gets pulled down or not. If you're fishing with lures, then you're casting out and reeling back in and casting out and reeling back in. Or if you're fly fishing, then you're, you know, going across the top of the water and so on. But it takes patience. Not every cast is going to produce a fish. When you put your bait out there, you don't automatically right away maybe get a bite. And sometimes you get things that you weren't fishing for. You get, you know, up in Ohio, when I used to fish in the lake up there, we'd get these fish called sheepheads. And they're not made like a carp, but they remind me a lot of a carp. They got, you know, they're a tough fish to bring in. But their meat ain't no good. And you get one of them sheephead, and they can really mess your reel up if you ain't careful. And you just got to throw them back in. Now, there might be some people that eat the sheepheads and the carp and all that, and so they cut the mud streak out of it and all that, but not me. If I catch a sheephead or a carp, I throw it back in. That's not a keeper. That's not a good fish. If I'm out there fishing for white bass, then that's what I want to catch is white bass. If I'm out there fishing for perch, then that's what I want to catch. If I'm out there in the river fishing for trout, then that's what I'm after. I don't want to catch no turtle. I don't want to catch no snake. Catch any of those things, you just get thrown back. It takes patience. And I have learned over the 20 plus years that I've been here, I guess it's been 22 years now, I've learned patience. It's one of the things when I very first came here to pastor, and I was talking to Brother Donnie Reagan, and Brother Donnie said, Brother Jerry, if there's one thing I can tell you that you'll need while you're there pastoring, is patience. It takes patience to pastor. And it's because you can preach it and preach it and preach it and seem like you look and you say, man, I'm not seeing no change. And it's because the change don't always happen quick. Sometimes it takes time. And you know why? Because sometimes we're hard-headed. And sometimes we're blind to ourselves. We, as I've said before, we can't sometimes see our own fault. We're too busy looking at everybody else's. In a given situation, instead of looking and trying to cast blame, that's the spirit of the day, you know. If anything goes wrong, put the blame on somebody else. But instead of trying to do that, look and say, what is there about me that might have caused this? When I was 49 years old, I began to think about turning 50. And it made me take a look at my natural life. It made me take a look at my attitude. It made me take a look at how I conducted myself, how I presented myself. Maybe take a look at just what kind of person am I? And I looked at myself. And I didn't approve. Because I took a real honest look about it. And so I said, okay, then those things I'm going to change. And I set about to change that part of me. Now, I couldn't change it on my own. I needed God's help. But God wasn't going to come over and just shove this stuff on me. I had to realize I needed it. You see, that's the problem with Laodicea. They don't realize that they're naked. They don't realize they're blind. And because they're blind, they can't see what's wrong with them. And because they've got a religious covering, they don't think they're naked. But I'm going to tell you this. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, then you're naked as Laodicea in God's eyes. You've got to be clothed in this word. I don't mean clothed in the Bible. There's a lot of people try to clothe themselves with the Bible, and that's just another religious covering. They can quote this and quote that and quote this, and they can outquote you on the Bible. They can outquote me on the Bible. That doesn't mean anything. How are you living? If there was a man on the street and he knew that he was naked, he would know he's in that condition, why he'd try to do something to change. But when they're there and they don't know it, then they don't know they need to change. I've dealt with individuals over the years, some of them preachers, that things showed they didn't have the Holy Ghost. And as I talked to them and realized things that if they think they've got it, then they're not going to be searching for it. They're not going to be asking God for it because they think they already got it. But a man go out and live untrue to his wife, and say, oh, I've got the Holy Ghost? No. If that be the case, then what in the world do we have that's going to be for our security? What are we going to have that's going to hold us? Brother Branham referred to the Holy Ghost as our tie post. And he said, without that tie post, Satan could march some worldly woman down the street. He said, and if that man on the other side doesn't have that tie post, and he says, I don't even care if he's a preacher. If he don't have that tie post, he'll want to go make a date with her. But if he's got that tie post, it'll hold him. Same thing with you sisters. Same thing with the women. Many times we get to preaching on living untrue and all these things, and all we talk about is the men. But you know, women is just as bad as the men. First John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you love the things of the world, then you're not where you need to be to make it to the hereafter. You know, I've got a lot of beech trees that are on our property. And we've got a lot of different kinds of trees. And I've watched some of the trees, why they'll, when the fall comes, why they let go of their leaves. And I'll tell you what, they fill up the yard and fill up everywhere, you know, and they cover your car. And when it gets wet, then they're stuck to your car, and they just let go of their leaves, you know, for the winter. But I've watched some of the other trees, especially the beech trees, and they don't let go of their leaves. Them old dead leaves that hang on. But you know, I don't have to go out there and pick them dead leaves off. All I got to do is wait for spring. And in the springtime, when the life comes back up out of the roots and goes back out into the tree, into the limbs, and brings on new leaves, it'll push them old dead leaves off. And that's the way it is when you get Christ in your life. Nobody's going to have to come and say, well, you need to quit this, and you need to quit that, and you need to quit the other. Then things will begin to, that desire for those things to leave. It's gone. New life comes. And it pushes that old dead stuff off. I'll tell you what. If you ever have a genuine experience with God, you'll never look at this world the same again. This world, friends, I know that it has its attractions. And it has its pleasures. The Bible never said sin wasn't pleasurable. Matter of fact, the Bible says it is. But realize when it says only for a season, that it's talking about it's only pleasurable during this present world. Because after this present world ends, then he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. If you think it's bad now in the world, it's nothing compared to what it's going to be when the tribulation sets in. Now, I don't know, you know, personally, I don't know when Brother Branham said that he saw the United States laying in ashes. I don't know when that's going to take place. But I'll tell you what, America's got to a place where that's the only thing that's ever going to change it, is be laid in craters and ashes. I don't mean to make this statement, I'm not making this statement to be political, but friends, the liberals are gaining ground. And they hate Christians. That's why I'm bringing it up, not because of any political reasons. They hate Christians. They hate what Christians stand for. Oh, they won't come right out and say they hate God, although there's some of them that don't believe in serving God. But there's others that they may have their churches. But to come in contact with a genuine old-fashioned Christian, they don't want nothing to do with them. And it's getting worse. Now we've got a big change coming up. I think if we'd have had another 4 years of Obama, we wouldn't have had a relationship left with Israel. Or if Hillary would have got in. But now the liberals are getting in. And I wonder, what's the relationship going to become with Israel? And the reason I look at that is because I know that Israel is God's timepiece. And what goes on with them reflects on where we're at in God's time. And I believe there's going to come a day that this nation will turn their backs on Israel. And they'll side with the Muslims. And I'll tell you what, that will definitely be the beginning of the end. This present world is going to pass away. And then, if you're not in Christ, what happens to you? If you're in Christ, then you go to the hereafter. You go to the world that is to come. You go to the things that are to be. But if you're not in Christ, what happens? And you die. And then you don't live again for 1,000 years. But you're still somewhere. Think about it. There's going to be a millennium that the believers are going to live through. 1,000 years of one day in God's eyes. But those that are without Christ, where are they going to be for 1,000 years? In torment. So you see, you look and you make your choice and you see that this present world doesn't have anything to offer that's going to last. It doesn't have anything to offer that's more valuable than eternal life. To think there'll be people that will come before the judgment then, after the time of the millennium. And they'll come before the judgment. And you know what? There ain't going to be no excuses that are going to hold up. People give their excuses now why they can't come to church. They give their excuses now why they can't live right. But none of those excuses are going to hold up when they come before the throne of judgment. But the Bible says there's going to be people that will have the gall to give their excuses. Because it says they'll say, have we not done all these mighty works in thy name? So there's going to be some that will come up and they'll offer. It's our human nature. Offer excuse. But think about it. You know, sometimes people offer you their excuse why they're not coming to church anymore. And they offer you their excuse. And you being human, sometimes you believe them. But there is no excuse. There is no acceptable excuse for not coming to church. And that's what we need to tell them. When they offer us their excuse why they're not coming, you just say, look, there is no excuse. I don't care what so-and-so does or what this one thinks or what that one says or whatever else. There is no excuse. Look, tell them the truth. There is no excuse, and that excuse is not going to hold up in the day of judgment. You need to come to church and get where you need to be with God. And the only reason they're not coming to church is because they don't want to. Why not just be honest about it? Well, I don't want to give up this or that or the other. Or what about my spouse? What about your spouse? You know, that's an excuse that children use. And they'll say, well, so-and-so gets to do it. And I can remember my wife saying, well, if so-and-so is going to jump off the cliff, are you going to jump off with him? So if your spouse is going to go to hell, are you going to go to hell with them? Brother says, in a message preached in 1950 called The Prodigal, he preached in Cleveland, Ohio. He said, there's many a mother's boy now out in the roadhouses. Slop and out in all the places of ill fame. Many young ladies, prostitutes on the streets. Why? Because they got away from home. Because they got away from God. They got away from the Bible. They got away from its teachings. And they went out and lived with the rest of the world. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you, the Bible says. As long as that desire is in your heart to do that, come back to the altar and stay there until it's all gone. That's the kind of old-fashioned religion I'm speaking about, trying to take the desire out of you. He said, brother, if you still love the world, professing to be God's child, for the sake of your own soul, find a place at the altar and pray through until God takes the world out of you. The Bible says the worshiper, once purged, is perfected forever. Brother Ram says, sure, you'll still do things that are wrong. But as soon as you do, you'll confess it to the Lord and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I didn't mean to do that. And he says, and we've got an advocate. And when you confess that and repent of it, it never even comes up before God. Because we've got an advocate with the Father. We've got someone who speaks for us, and that's Jesus Christ. God has given a way of escape, to escape the wrath that is to come. He gave Noah a way to escape. It wasn't a popular way. But it was God's way nonetheless. And God's given us a way. He always gives a place of escape. He always gives a way of escape. Noah overcame the flood because he accepted God's way out. And the ones who didn't accept God's way out, they drown. And they die. And they've been dead. And they've been dead. And they've been dead. And they're still dead. And they're still yet some time to come, they'll be dead. And then there's another 1,000 years and they'll still be dead. Who knows how many thousands of years they've already been dead. And sometime the white throne judgment's going to come up. And then they'll come back. And they'll give an account then for why they didn't accept the way of escape that God had gave to Noah. They'll give an account for why they made fun of Noah. They'll give an account for why they didn't listen to Noah. And the words will ring out again, the voice of many waters, of the services of Noah they sat in and heard the voice cry out, it's going to rain. God said, build an ark. That's our way out. And them words will come back to them and they'll be judged by it. And one day there's going to be people that will stand in judgment. And the words that have been preached across this pulpit will be echoed back before them. And it'll say, why did not you accept the way of escape? Because I loved the present world. More than I loved the things of God. I'll tell you this, just as sure as religious is a covering, salvation will uncover. Salvation will help you get cleaned up, get the desires out. I've talked to people who loved cocaine more than they did God. And they would say, I want to serve God. Am I like Esau? In other words, do I have an excuse for why I can't get right? Is it that God won't let me? That's what they're saying. Then it takes responsibility off of them, see? Then it's God's fault they can't get right. And say, I wanted to get right, but I love doing cocaine. They love the things of this present world. And you know what? The sad thing's going to be, it's not going to be those people who have, you know, it's going to be the people who have heard about this message, who have heard the truth has been preached to them, the truth has been talked with them, and they've turned away from it. think of how much more they're going to have to answer for. Think of, you know, we think of Judas often. But realize there was many things that Jesus revealed to the disciples after Judas left. Judas never even had any knowledge of. But there's been a lot of people that have come in contact with this message. Even some from this, in this very church, have come in contact with the truth. And there's one I know of that died out on a highway in a car accident without God, who used to come here. And after he died, his family tried to paint him up as being a real good godly guy. You know, a godly guy that smoked pot. Godly guy that had done all kinds of other drugs. I don't think so. But what would the judgment be? Because they came to know of the truth. They're not going to be like some that never, you know, everybody gets the opportunity to choose Christ. But there are some that the Bible says their ears have been stopped up, lest that they hear. So there's some that's not even going to hear. So I think about those that have heard. The Bible says if we were of the world would love its own. Because we're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Galatians 1:3, we're going to close, you can stand. Galatians 1:3 says, grace be to you, peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Lord, we come to you today, Lord. Not knowing, Lord, I don't know where each and every individual, where they're at with God. But Lord, they know where they are. And they know if they have need or not. Lord, because the word has been preached in such a way today, Lord, to identify if they have a need, if they need you in their life. God, I pray, Lord, that they'll find an altar and pray until they get through, until they break through the realms of this world, of this dimension, and break through into that realm, that dimension of prayer, where you'll come down, Lord, and begin to, Father, do a real work in their life. I pray for your people today, Lord God, that you'll bless them, keep them safe, I pray, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name.